Okay, good morning. We are in the middle of the ninth chapter of Sefer Shoftim. We are going to, the tenth chapter of Sefer Shoftim. And we are going to right now finish up the end of the tenth chapter and begin the second half of Sefer Shoftim. Technically, by letter, it's not exactly. This half, 21 chapters is the entire Sefer. So this is about we're at the halfway mark, the 50 yard line, so to speak, of the Sefer. And right now we learned and we're introduced to two, and we said goodbye very quickly to two brief Shoftim, two minor Shoftim, Tola Ben Pua and Yair HaGiladi. We discussed them with some interesting halachos related to them last week, and then we learned, unfortunately, after those 45 years of quiet. We'd say boring in a certain way. And we have to give credence to leaders who can lead with nothing happening. That's a very good thing if the leaders don't make the front cover and they don't get extensive coverage. That's a very healthy and positive thing. Although in recent years, we would think the opposite, but it's very, very important for leaders just to lead and to, without scandal, without concern, just lead. And, get the people to where they need to get to. So right after Yair dies, the Jewish people fall into this cycle. And they don't just now fall into a cycle of Avodah Zarah. We mentioned the Navi mentioned seven different types of Avodah Zarah. But additionally, they are Vayazu es Hashem v'lo avadahu. And we learned the Rambam in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, which is very, very relevant to our parshios that we are learning right now, is that the Jewish people were worshiping Avodah Zarah, but they weren't worshiping God very often. And Avodah Zarah was created on the notion that you serve both. You serve the stars, the sun, the moon, and you serve God, because God is the intermediary between the two, and you do both at the same time, which is, again, within itself, it's considered Avodah Zarah. That's paganism. That's very, very bad. But it's even worse, right? The Navi points out, Vayazu es Hashem v'lo avaduhu. Then what happens immediately after this? God gets angry. Vayim karem elokim biyad plishtim uviyad b'nei Amon. Two nations go and attack the Jewish people, plishtim and b'nei Amon. Vayiratzu vayirotitzu as b'nei Yisrael b'shana hi shmona esrim shana. It started right away, but it lasted for 18 years. It's a very long time. 18 years, vayiratzu, vayirotitzu, b'nei Amon, b'nei Plishtim, for the Jewish people. And Bashana Hib refers to the fact that Yair died on that year. Vayavru, b'nei Amon, esayardin, l'ilachem, b'gam, b'yehuda, b'yinamin, b'yis Ephraim, b'tetzer, yisrael, ma'od. So b'nei Amon crossed the Jordan, right? They lived on the other side of the Jordan. They come over to attack the Jewish people, Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, and they cause a lot of pain to Klal Yisrael. V'yizaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, chatanu lach. Right? And this is how it goes. This is the cycle of Shoftim. V'yizaku, they call out to God, and they say, chatanu lach, we sin to you, we forsook your God, our God, v'chiyizadim selokenu, elokenu, v'na'avod es ha-ba'alim, and we worshiped foreign gods. Vayomer Hashem of Bnei Yisrael, Halomi Mitzrayim, Min Amori, Min Bnei Amon, Min Plishtim. Hashem says, don't you realize that time after time I've delivered you, I've saved you from the Egyptians? Again, going back in time, Amorim, the Amon, Plishtim, Sidonim, Amalek, Maon. They all had caused you tremendous pressure and plight and pain and suffering, and I saved you time and time again. And now what happens? Batem azavtem osi v'tavdu Elohim achim. Lachin lo osiv lo shi'eschem. I don't want to do it again. I'm not going to save you again. Stop it. You know, like, why should I do this? It's going to be like a bracha l'batola. Lachu v'zaku el Elohim. Asher b'chartem bam. Hashem says to them in a very cynical way, but so good. Go worship and pray to those gods that you chose over me. Pray to them and see. Let them help you. Let them save you from the Plishtim and from the B'nai Am. Right? So that's a great, you know, that musr that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. You put all of your hopes and dreams and aspirations into them, so let them save you. By Yomer B'nei Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people say to Hashem, Chatanu Asei Ata Lanu Kechol Hato Beinecha. No, we don't want them, we want you. We want the real thing. We did sin, we did make a mistake. We want to be with you. All right, that's a key phrase here. Not so often in Tanakh do we see Chatanu Lach. Do we see either an individual or a people say that they sinned? They owned up to it. They owned up to their mistakes. Vayasiru es Elohei Nechar mikirbam. So they just don't only say it. Words are great. And more ma'at vasei harbe, they got rid of all the idols from inside their homes. Elohei Nechar mikirbam. Vayavdu es Hashem v'tikser nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. Right, and they started worshiping Hashem by getting rid of everything. Now, the Navi here says something very fascinating. Vatikser nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. Hashem's nefesh couldn't tolerate the pain of the Jewish people. Right, which is a very beautiful language. Shalom Aleichem. Good morning, Yassi. So, it's a beautiful language here that Hashem couldn't tolerate, you know, the suffering that the Jewish people were going through. But tikser nafsho, you know, that Hashem is in pain with us. Ve'itzaku b'nei Amon v'yachanu b'Gilad. Then very practically, b'nei Amon in camp by Gilad. We'll see why that's important, where they're encamping very soon. They're going to war now, right? So now, again, they're going to war. It's not just they're causing them oppression. They're going to war. So now this is great, right? This is the cycle of Shoftim. The Jewish people do terrible things. They worship foreign gods. They worship idols. And then foreign oppressors come in and attack them. Right, we first saw that it keeps on getting worse and worse. Here, it's worse that it's not just one nation; it's two nations that are coming in and attacking them. And then the next step is that they need a leader of Klal Yisrael, who is going to lead them. And that's the way the parak ends. Vayomer ha'am sarei gilad ishareu mi ha'ish asher yachel lilachem bebnei Amon. Who is the guy that's going to begin fighting against Bnei Amon? That's going to help lead us over all of Yoshvei Gilad. Who is going to be that person that Yachel comes from the word Yachil to begin? Right. So who is going to be that person that's going to lead us? It wasn't clear, right? In certain times, in the Devorah's times, we knew who it was going to be. It was organic that it was Devorah. Here, we're going to learn about also a very complex individual, very complex character in Tanakh. His name is Yiftach HaGiladi, right? Specifically from Gilad, that's where they're being attacked right now. Dafka from the place where Ya'ir HaGilad, where he died, that's where he was the previous shofar. And Yiftach is going to express that. Additionally, the Mefarshim here point out is that we don't see until this point in the Navi, we don't see like this display of affection that Hashem has for the Jewish people until now. But tikser nafsho ba'amal Yisrael, Hashem has it's not just that he feels a responsibility to take care of them, right? Sometimes we can do something and help out our kids, go out of our way, because it's our duty, it's your responsibility. We brought them into this world, we help them. So they need our help now, we're going to help them. Right, that's sometimes we're not feeling it. We're not feeling that emotion. And then sometimes it's, no, we love them so much. Yeah, they put us through this again. It's so painful. It's so hard. I can't believe I saw the writing on the wall. I knew this was going to happen. I told them it was going to happen. Nonetheless, the Kaddish Baruch Hu here is, I just love the Jewish people. I can't get away. I need to help them. I need to. So the Jewish people now are looking for a leader. And they turn to a very, a place where you wouldn't expect them to go. The Yiftach Hagil Adi, Hayah Gibor Chayil. Yiftach was a Gibor Chayil, which means he was a warrior. He was a brave, strong person. Behu ben Isha Zona, Vayolad Gilad, Yiftach. So he was a Gibor Chayil. That's a good thing. Check. Right? Look at the boxes. Like, what is Yiftach's resume that makes him a leader? He's a Gibor Chayil. Great. Ben Isha Zona. No, what does that mean? He was a son of a Zona. Now, what does that mean?
Son of a prostitute.
Okay. Yeah. Milti said it the way it is, right? A son of a Zona. Some of you may not have felt comfortable saying this, but what is Ben Isha Zona? That, like, that's on his resume? Like, excuse me. Why are we airing this out? And if we're going to air it out, which is what we do usually in the Navi, why is this in the Pasuk that this is who he is, and this is, we're choosing him as the leader?
Because even though he came from Zona, he still was able to get beyond that and do the right thing, and was a good leader. Just to say that, no matter where you come from, you can always rectify what you're doing. You can always be a leader, no matter what your background is. This way, I hope for anybody to be able to do.
Right. So Milti is taking the approach of the Abar Ben El. The Abar Ben El says very simply here, he was his mother was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And as a result of that, one second, Mendy. Yeah. And as a result of that, this is showing that even though people, you can argue that people are born into a certain situation, they're born into a certain socioeconomic situation, and they're sort of stuck there. They're sort of stuck in that position for their whole life. Yiftach is one of those people that says, no, I'm not bound to what I was born into. I can become greater than that. Great. Mendy.
He had to be tough to survive.
Sorry, Yassi, what did you say?
He had to be tough to survive because everybody probably shunned him. He didn't have a father. So he really had to, stand out.
Right. So there's a resilience that's created, right? And a crucible of resilience that's created sometimes with people that are born into situations like this. Excellent. Yeah.
Can the word have another derivative?
Definitely. Definitely. What are you thinking?
Mizono, the baker. Like, Honey's here. She said, like, Mizonos, a baker.
Okay. Maybe we should get this this year today sponsored by Mozone. But you're right. you are right. And Milty's going to work on that later. Okay. I'll text
him. They joined the caterer. They joined the panel and give us
You got to join the panel. So, we met another Zona earlier on in Tanakh. We haven't learned about her in this context on Monday mornings, but we have learned about her together. Who else is called a Zona in the Navi?
The woman in Yeshua.
Who said Yeshua?
Jay, who the woman who operated the hotel and took the two spies.
Rachel Hazona, right? Rachel Hazona. So who? Maybe also she was a Zona. She the house that she had was for women to come in, and men would go in, and that's how she knew everything that was going on in Yericho. However, Targum Yonathan Ben Uziel writes it here, and he writes it there, that Zona comes from the word Mizonos, probably where the word Mozon from the caterer comes from also. I think so. I don't know for sure, actually. But you could argue that that his mother was a baker, somebody that was involved in that industry, right? Not related at all to this notion. She was an innkeeper. She provided meals for guests. Back then, all inns were like bed and breakfasts. And she provided food for them, right? And so that's what it is here. So it's a nice term. It's just saying who her mother was. Presumably, people knew her. It wasn't a Hilton or a Marriott, but people knew who she was. That's why the Navi is saying who his mother was. Now, additionally, the Radak writes here, it's on the side, Ben Pilegesh, that his father had many had wives, and he also had concubines, had a Pilegesh. Pilegesh is like a half wife. Ben Pilegesh Gilad. So Gilad, this prominent man, had a Pilegesh, and one of the children was Yiftach, or the only child that he had from this Pilegesh was specifically Gilad. Okay, so he had, we're going to see it, we're going to paint the picture, that Gilad had brothers. He had brothers, but the only one that is different, the other brothers were born to women that Gilad was married to. The only one that came out of this type of marriage or this type of relationship was Yiftach. And we'll see very, very soon why that's significant. But Teled Eshes Gilad Lo Banim. Vayigdulu, so Gilad himself gets had wives. Vayigdulu Vineha Isha Vayigarshu Es Yiftach. Now listen to what happens. Gilad gets married. He has lots of children. Vayigarshu Es Yiftach. The brothers themselves, they kick Yiftach out of the home. Vayomru lo, lo tinchal beves avinu, ki ben isha acheres atam. You cannot inherit our father because you are the son of a different woman. So take one of these two approaches. Not the third one would not necessarily connect about the innkeeper. But take one of the other two. What the Navi is highlighting here is that Yiftach was an only child amongst other children. He had half siblings. They were all connected to other wives or maybe one other one. And he was a lone child to one mom. All the other brothers, they rejected him and they kicked him out of their parents' house. That's who Gilad was. That's
Rabbi.
Gilad. Yeah.
Is there any contrast between this? I forgot who it was, who also was born from a concubine, and he went ahead and killed all his brothers.
Very good. Very good. Who was that? That was this is exactly why some of the Mefarshim point out Gidon had many, many children. One was born to a concubine, Avimelech. And the others were all born to regular wives. There, Avimelech gets angry, initiative. He initiates getting angry, and he murders all of his brothers except for one, except for Yotam. He murders all his brothers. We're going to see here that Yiftach doesn't do that at all. He doesn't want discord. He doesn't want fighting. So we're going to see that he just leaves, and he's going to live very peacefully on his own, inappropriately, but peacefully. The Malbin points out over here, you see it on the side, that the brothers, when they said you don't get inheritance, that's wrong. The son of a Pilegesh does get Yerusha with the other sons. And he says, number two, to kick out a brother, that's chamas. You hear that word chamas?
Yeah.
We just learned that word from the Mabel. The Hashem brought a Mabel into the world because of chamas. It's just cruelty.
Rabbi,
yes.
This sounds familiar to me, this the analogy of Yaakov. Yaakov with Yosef.
Uh-huh. This is another, yes, yeah, another parallel here.
Favorites to Yosef, and the other brothers were jealous of it, and the other brothers, that's why they sold him, did everything to him, because, so maybe Yiftach was the same way with Gilad. Gilad favored Yiftach and showed the favoritism, and the other brothers resented it, and because they resented it, they wanted to kick him out for the Arusha.
Right, so we don't see that. We don't see that. That Yiftach was favored by the other brothers. We only see Rishus.
No, by Gilad.
Right. We don't see that. Gilad favored the other brothers. We don't see that. That is not clear in the Navi here that he was favored at all. We just see that the brothers. It's Hamas. It's just horrible. We don't see anything like that.
But why would they do it otherwise?
What?
Why would they do it? They were jealous of him for something.
Then, because maybe of the case of Avimelech, maybe that's the reason why they did it.
Right, right. Maybe they're learning too much.
They saw in the past what happened.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So what happens? Vayivrach Yiftach. Again, this is a backstory. This isn't what happens right now, but they want to give the backstory to who Yiftach was. Vayivrach Yiftach mipnei Achav. He runs away. Vayeshe be'eretz tov. He lives in the land of Tov. Vayislaktu el Yiftach, anashim rekim v'yetzu imo. So Yiftach lives in the land of Tov, and who are his people that join him? Simple people, right? Not intellectuals, not just simple people become his followers in the land of Tov. That's who Yiftach is. So now, it's a very funny town. Yiftach lives in the land of Tov. So what does this mean? He lives in the land of Tov. So simply put, it was the land of Tov was run by a person whose name was Tov. And that's probably the simplest understanding. That's the Metzudat Tzion, Shem Adon Haaretz. His name was Tov. That's actually, if you remember from Megillas Rus, we learned that Tov was a name of people. We actually don't have, I don't know a man named Tov, but we know women named Tova, right? That's a common name, Tova. It's the same name, means good. So we don't have it for the male, but it was a name. Apparently it was common back then. In the times of Rus.
How about Tuvia?
Tuvia, yeah, Tuvia. Well, Tuvia is Moshe Rabbeinu's name. The truth is, when Moshe is born, the language in the Torah is Vayarki Tov. They saw that he was good. And that's how we know that his name was Tuvia, from the word good. So Mitzvah Tzion says here his name was Tov, because that's the land was run by a man named Tov. And we see that Rus had a closer relative than Boaz that could have done the Kwaza Yibam. And the Navi says, Vimigalcha Tov. If that person does the redemption process, good. So the rabbis learn that from there. No, Imigalcha Tov. The guy's name was Tov. If you redeem him, if Tov redeems you, then you'll be redeemed with him. He'll marry you. If not, then Boaz can. So that is one very interesting interpretation over here. Now, one sec, pull my notes. The Yerushalmi writes that what happened here is that the land of Tov, why is the land of Tov good? This is very fascinating. Yerushalmi writes that this land was good to Yiftach because this land is exempt from Trumos and Maisros. Now, I would argue that we don't call America good because it's exempt from mitzvos. It's the exact opposite. We call it chutz la'aretz. We call it exile, gullus. Why would the Yerushalmi write that this land was good because it was exempt from maisros, exempt from presumed from mitzvos. It's not appropriate. So the Chida writes something very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. The Chida writes, it's right here inside in this parish on the called Chomas Enoch. He writes here that Yiftach specifically went to a place that was exempt from Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is Meiser that you take, 10% that you take off of your crops every year, and you need to bring those crops to Yerushalayim. Right? So what would happen if Yiftach would be obligated to take his crops to Yerushalayim? Yiftach might end up bumping into his siblings. And if he bumps into his siblings, that might cause some fighting. He might not be able to hold himself back. And his brothers might not be able to hold themselves back. Therefore, Yiftach said, it's better that I move to a place that doesn't have that mitzvah to avoid machlokes. To avoid machlokes. It's amazing. Umidei ha'aloso ha'shema, right? When he brings his fruits to Yerushalayim, Shema Yavoli's Garos, Lachlok im Ziknair, maybe they're gonna find me and my brothers are gonna find me. And then what am I doing? So I want to be proactive in avoiding machlokas. It's really a beautiful pshat. I want to be proactive in avoiding machlokas. Therefore, I'm gonna go ahead and not involve myself in the land of Tov. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin tells us this from a different angle. The Gemara in Chulin doesn't have it here. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that the land is Tov, right? Because if people live there, they remain silent in times of dispute. People would scream at them and argue with them, and the people who lived in Tov would not get involved in Machlokas. That's what the Gemara in Chulin says about these people that live in the land of Tov. So,
Rabbi, how do you get exempt from giving Masa Shene?
It's outside the land of Israel.
Oh, this is outside of the land. Okay.
Yeah, that's why. So that's the land of Israel. So, and he was involved with people that were like unattractive. People that were not connecting with others. They were loners. Yiftach was a loner too. So now they're asking Yiftach, we're going to see, to be their leader, right? As if there's no leader in Eretz Yisrael that can lead them. They need to ask Yiftach, this guy. Vayimi yamim v'yilachamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael. So Jewish people are going to war against Amon. Kasher yinochamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael. Vayelchu zikne gilad l'kachas Yiftach me'eretz Tov. So the zikne gilad went to the Eretz Tov. And they went to go get him, right? This is a redemption for them. Vayomer liyiftach, lecha v'hayisa lanu lekatzin v'neochama b'vnei Amon. We want you to become a katzin, a officer for us, our captain, to fight against Amon. Yiftach says back, no, it's a really bad idea. You guys don't like me. You hate me. You kicked me out of my home. And now you're coming to me, Dafka, to be your leader? It doesn't really, no. Vayomer zikne gilad el yiftach lachin ata shavnu elacha. Yeah, you're right, but we're coming back to you because we need you. V'nochamta b'nei b'avon k'yisalan l'ish l'rosh l'chol yish v'gilad. And now we're coming to you because we want you to be our leader. We know we made a mistake, but we need you. Vayomer yiftach el zikne gilad imishim atem usi l'yachem b'nei amon v'san Hashem l'osam l'fanai. So he says, we'll analyze this more next week, exactly what he's giving, like a backhand. If you bring me back home to fight against Amon, then I'll deliver them. So, Vayomer zikne gilad yiftach, Hashem yeh shomea beinu seinu, im lo gzaracha ki nasah. We swear, Hashem is going to be our witness, meaning we swear that what we're going to do is going to be good. We're going to follow you. We're not going to kick you out. We're going to be good to you. Vayelach Yiftach im zikne gila ve'simu ha'am al oso alehem l'rosh l'katzin. So they make Gilad their leader, And Vayidaber Yiftach es kol dvarav lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah. Yiftach says all of his words. We're going to have to see next week. What does it mean? He says all of his words before God. He davens to God. He confesses before God. What's he doing before God over here? And what is the whole machlokes here? This is like two, three times they're going back and forth. Yes, no, we need you. Only if you forgive. You know, what's going on over here in this conversation between Yiftach and Gilad? And we see here another leader that is very hesitant to lead. This is now two in a row. We had Tola and Puah, Tola and Yair in the middle. But we had Gidon already that didn't want to lead. And now we have Yiftach again that is uncomfortable leading the Jewish people, rightfully so. But we'll see that he also is uncomfortable. And we'll see why exactly that is. What is this hesitation? Is it that he's afraid of the people? They're not going to get along with him. It's something else. And what is his relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's he doing talking to God? We'll learn about that. And we will obviously need to understand that this is also the Haftorah. Anyone know what parsha this Haftorah is for? The story of Yiftach? It's Haftorah for Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas. We have to understand why in the world. Paraduma, like what's going on there? Why is it the Haftorah of Parshas Chukas? That within itself would need a tremendous explanation also. Okay, we're going to stop here for today. I wish everybody a great day. Excellent week.